Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Sunday Messages. I am coming to you from my bedroom. I'm giving you another bedtime episode. And can we just be in full agreement that I have like a fabulous, cozy, soundproof cave studio? Like, that is actually my next dream. Like, that is the next manifestation in terms of like a home situation. That's the element that I want to have in the next place. Wherever I live, whenever I move, I'm setting the intention now that it is my desire to have like a cozy, soundproof cave for myself to make content. Like, that's the dream. Because I just have so many thoughts and so many musings and so many good ideas, and so much comes to me when I'm in an environment like this and when I'm winding down for the evening, that I just want to be able to simulate that during the daytime. So anyway, let's all be in full agreement that that is the next stage for me in terms of podcasting. I'm putting it out there now. Okay, so let me talk to you about how this episode came to be. I'm probably going to talk about a bunch of different things, but really I'm probably going to title this episode like Success, Money, and God or something like that. And the reason why this came up is I was listening to Leo Skeppy's podcast, and it was the episode about the voids money can't fill. And if you're interested, definitely go listen to it. He gives a very real account of what it's like to obtain a certain amount of success and essentially the existential crisis that he experienced when he got there. That's the best way I can describe it. He didn't describe it that way, but that's kind of how I would categorize it. And the thing is, this happens all the fucking time. I've had it happen. I know so many people who have had a really, really massive, like, life-changing manifestations, or they've reached a certain amount of success or money or fame or whatever, you know, metric that they're using. And right on the other side of that manifestation is an existential crisis, because the awareness starts to click that achievement did not fix certain emotions. So what he was talking about in the podcast was essentially all of the negative emotions were on the other side. They were still on the other side of financial freedom. And so that for him is what triggered, you know, what I'm calling an existential crisis, even though he did not refer to it as an existential crisis, but that's kind of what he was describing. He talked about many things. He actually gave a really good account of what it's like for that, the reality to set in that your achievement did not fix it. So go check that out if you're interested. But the thing that really got my attention, or that I couldn't stop thinking about, was the fact that usually people have one problem or one area of life that they like to blame. And this becomes like the blanket scapegoat that people use for their negative emotions, negative storytelling, negative circumstances. So money is a really common one. Of course, that was the context of the episode. And the thing is, when you can just default blame, well, I feel this way because I don't have money, or I feel this way because I'm not having this experience, or I'm feeling this way because I don't have this relationship yet, or whatever, or I'm not settled where I want to be. We do this with so many different things. It's not even funny. It's like, I'll feel secure within myself, or I will feel wanted when I'm in a relationship. When you can absolutely feel extremely unwanted inside of a relationship, or one of the big ones for people is, I'll feel more secure. Like, I won't be afraid anymore when I have X amount of money. Oh, no. That is not how that works. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. More money does not fix fear, because you can have tons and tons and tons of money and then have fear of losing it, or fear of mishandling it, or confusion about what do I do with it now? Like, there's so many different things that can come up that you can project onto money, whether it's here or whether it's not. And the same thing goes for everything else. And so this is where I don't want anyone to listen to this podcast and be like, you know, think that I am trying to say, don't bother wanting what you want because there's an existential crisis on the other side of it. No, 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 no. That's not what I'm saying. The best way to go about this, it's like, want what you want. Want what you want. You can't stop wanting it anyway. So let yourself want things. That's the whole point. It's fun to create. It's fun to expand. We want to do more cool shit, blah, 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 blah. Yes to all of it. But understand that there are so many things that you feel, so many different sensations and insecurities and emotional experiences that manifestations and material things cannot satisfy. And they're not able to satiate that thing within you, whatever pain point is going on within you. Now, there's some immediate things that manifestations can fix. You know what I mean? Like if you need shelter, then yes, the manifestation of shelter fixes that. But I'm talking about beyond that, like beyond base needs, like just basic needs, it's no longer a one for one. So the way that people end up setting up an existential crisis is by believing that a particular manifestation is going to solve an emotional problem. That's the trap. So if you're saying, well, I'm feeling inadequate now, but when my audience is bigger, or when I reach a certain amount of fame, or I have a certain amount of recognition, or I win a particular award, that will solve my feeling of inadequacy. Nope. 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 You can have a Grammy and feel inadequate. You can have a big audience and feel inadequate. That is not a one-for-one equation. You know, it's not the same thing as just having food. Like, I'm hungry and so I'm going to eat and feel satiated after eating. Manifestations beyond base needs don't operate like that. That's something that only exists when you're below your baseline needs being met. Then once you pass that threshold, things begin to change and you'll start to experience what I describe as a God-shaped hole. And I call it that because to me, it's that thing that you have to self-source, and I call that God. When I'm saying that thing you have to self-source, I mean whatever emotional experience you are wanting to cultivate internally. Let's take money fear as an example. Most of the time with money, people do this. This is the trap. They say, okay, I'm feeling really bad about money right now. I'm afraid. I'm worried. I'm stressed about money. I'm panicked about this. It's taking up a lot of mental space for me. And I would feel a lot better and I wouldn't be afraid if all my debt was paid off and I could pay da da da, or I could buy blah blah blah, and then I wouldn't feel afraid anymore. Bullshit. Bullshit. I'm telling you right now, I know that it's hard to believe, but I promise you, on the other side of your debt being paid, or that financial experience, or that income level, or that influx of cash, or whatever, fear can still reside there. Money, the manifestation of money, or a particular financial goal being met, doesn't resolve the fear. Because like I said, You can be afraid of losing it all. You can be afraid of mismanaging it. You can be afraid, how am I going to do it again? You can be afraid, 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 afraid. And so many people have had the experience of making a shit ton of money and then realizing on the other side of reaching that income goal is more fear. Because the remedy for fear is not money. They're not related. You can be scared with money, you can be scared without money. And the only reason why people associate this manifestation is going to satiate this God-shaped hole, it's going to make me feel relief, is only when you're operating from below baseline to baseline needs being met. Below baseline to baseline needs being met. And so people start training themselves to say, oh, I get it now. The more money I have, the safer I feel. That's an illusion. That's only when you are operating below baseline needs being met. Everything completely looks different on the other side of baseline needs being met. And so that is why people set up the existential crisis for themselves later. Is because, yes, it's true. If you're constantly in this cycle of like crisis, solution, crisis, solution, crisis, solution, crisis, solution, if that's like the drama of your life, that's just rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, you are associating manifestations with relief. So you're training your body and mind to believe that. And so then once you get beyond that threshold and now you're playing a new game with different rules, things start to look way, way, way different. And then you have the experience of just chasing into this infinite black hole and then having a very rude awakening when you reach a financial goal and you realize that you're still afraid, that you're still panicked, that you're still stressed, that it's still taking up space in your mind at night, that you're not having the sense of peace that you thought you would have, and boom, that's when you have an existential crisis. This shit drives people insane. Why do you think so many celebrities are completely unhinged? In large part, it has to do with this existential crisis experience of there is not enough that can fill that God-shaped hole. There is not enough of anything. There's not enough drugs. There's not enough success. There's not enough awards. There's not enough parties. There's not enough publicity. There's not enough fame. There's not enough fortune. There's not enough vacations in order to fill this emotional relief, this sense of peace and fulfillment and satisfaction. That is something that when people say it's an internal job, that is what they're talking about. It is something that must be self-sourced. And if you don't, you're setting up the existential crisis. Now, there are people, don't get me wrong, who just never break out of the crisis relief cycle. You know, we know people like that. And so if it's just crisis relief, crisis relief, crisis relief, then you might not ever see what I'm talking about. Some people die in that state. You know, they live their whole life that way and they never see the other side. So when they hear someone say money doesn't buy happiness, they're like, bullshit, I have bills to pay. Well, yes, that would, again, satisfy your baseline needs being met. And that I totally agree with. But where the whole money doesn't buy happiness thing comes into play is when you're beyond that threshold. So this is what happens when people cross that line. So now it's like you're not going to starve to death. You have shelter. Bills are paid. Like baseline needs are met. Okay. You're out of the crisis solution cycle. This typically begins with people saying, well, this is a particular goal that I have, and once I hit this goal, then I'll da da da. Then I'll feel better, then I'll relax, then I'll be happy, then I'll have this emotional experience. They do that thing. They hit that goal. Discomfort is still there. There's still some type of emotional dissatisfaction going on. So they move to the next. And they say, well, this other problem, this thing isn't sorted out quite yet. So once this thing is sorted out, then I'll feel blah, blah, blah. And then they get that thing, but there's still that dissatisfaction, that God-shaped hole. And they're like, well, no, it's this other thing. I have another problem. I have another fire to put out. And once this fire is put out, then, and at a certain point, people who do this run into an existential crisis. I can't tell you when. Some people chase it all the way to the grave. You know what I mean? Like the next one, the next one, the next one, the next one. And it's just this constant pursuit with no fulfillment. This is also the exact thing that happened to the helicopter pilot. You want to know what happened to him? I'll give you the full story. So I met him when he was like hot shot, right out of college, got a big fancy job. He was an engineer at the time and got a job that where we were living, like when we met, everyone in town knew that if you worked at this place, you were doing well. You were set financially, like it was associated, you work here, you're making good money, which is true. So he started off with like a good amount of success for his age. By anyone's standards, they would say good for him. He's doing real well, blah, blah, blah. Gets another job. He moves down to the Bay Area, has this other engineering job. Whatever, he's driving nice cars, doing his thing. He has a very full life. He has friends. He has cool roommates, like the whole shebang. He's got it all. Then his mother passed away that year, and he decided to quit his job and go travel the world. That was the next adventure. That was the next thing that would fix it. Fill the God-shaped hole. And so he went and traveled the world. And he did that. I don't remember how long he was gone. He bounced around for, I think it was less than a year, something like that. So once again, he has plenty of money because he just got a significant inheritance from his mother passing away. So he's loaded with cash. He has assets. He has plenty of money from engineering. He traveled the world. He has everything that he could want. He's vastly beyond his baseline needs being met. Then when he gets back, he kind of floated around for a while and then ended up getting a job and was like working on race cars. Like something else that was just like a super cool job, doing something he was super interested in. Did that for a while. Like again, success, 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 over and over and over. Then the next pursuit, he decided to move back down to LA. And the next thing was helicopters. I'm going to go learn how to fly helicopters. I'm going to be a hotshot helicopter pilot, blah, blah, blah. Gets all the jobs, goes to all the places, gets all the experience, gets all his hours. And what is waiting for him at the end of all these achievements? An existential crisis. Why am I not satisfied? Why am I not fulfilled? Why am I depressed? Why am I not happy? I'm literally doing everything that a human could want. And these are the moments when I get phone calls. Okay, when he's like, oh shit, I'm having an existential crisis. What's wrong with me? That's when I get a phone call. So I tried explaining this to him that this is one of those things that you will not be able to satiate with external metrics. It's something that you have to train yourself to conjure internally. Otherwise, the next venture that you go on and the next thing that you pursue is going to feel hollow at the end of the experience if you don't learn to do this on command. That's why it's important. Otherwise, on the other side of that achievement, you're going to freak out again. I warned him about this. I said one of the worst things that you could do in this position is not do what I'm instructing. Go take another job with the hope that, you know, I'm going to do this and then I'm going to feel complete. That's a mistake. This is like a huge error. He didn't listen to me. He took another job, you know, telling himself that this time it'll be different. This time, I'll get it this time. And what phone call did I get? Like, once again, it was a year later, I get a phone call that he's in a terrible mental state. He's extremely depressed. He's unfulfilled. He's confused. He hates Las Vegas. All the things that I warned him about, it was like clockwork. So anyway, it's been many years of this. He does not listen to me. He doesn't take my advice. He just likes talking about it. He loves listening to all of my wisdom. And then he just goes off and repeats the same cycle. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how this next project goes for him. But my whole argument, and I see it all the time, I have clients who do this. I have friends who do this. It is a lack of self-sourcing will get you into trouble every time. In my opinion, the perfect recipe would be, again, we're speaking about being beyond your baseline needs being met. Okay, so you also want to have awareness that if you are below the baseline needs, I just want to add this caveat. On the other side, so like when you have that big thing that you're really needing, or after rent is paid, or after this situation works out, you still need to stay on top of this. You still need to do this. So the perfect recipe for expanding and pursuing goals, in my opinion, would be as you have emotional disturbances come up. I'm not talking about nervous system dysregulation. I'm talking more about like insecurity or inadequacy or comparison or feeling not good enough or feeling unworthy. We already know my feelings about unworthiness, but some people still feel it. So unworthiness or lack of meaning, purposelessness, those types of existential threats, those emotional threats that can get activated in your system, those things need to be resolved through self-sourcing. So when I'm saying self-sourcing, I mean getting juiced up on the energy of God, getting juiced up on the energy of divine source, reconnecting to your source, being able to feel that current of energy again, come into connection with that current of energy over and over and over, continually reaching for that instead of an external goal, which is extremely unstable and fleeting, and it can create a lot of panic and despair. Because if you are in the mindset of, oh my God, I climbed this peak, I got to this place and it's still not enough, so now I have to do another, I have to like wait for another, or I have to pursue another, I have to climb another mountain in order to get like a drop of satisfaction, that shit will make you crazy. It will make you lose your mind. Don't do that to yourself. So as I was saying, the best recipe, in my opinion, is Yes, you pursue things. Yes, you create things. Yes, you manifest and you have your projects and you're doing all the fun stuff that life has to offer and you're allowing things into your experience and you're tasting and you're having the time of your life. You're doing all of that. But when those weird emotions that only God can help you rebalance within yourself, you go directly to the source. And instead of looking to those external metrics or those achievements or manifestations or whatever as being the cure, those get to become fun. Those get to become things that you're doing to be fully expressed in this lifetime, but they are not your source. They are not your source. It's very, very, very important that you know that and that you be able to keep your mind in balance so that as you're pursuing things, you can be in right relationship to the pursuit and you can be in right relationship to the goals that you have for yourself and your desires, because you don't want to make manifestations replacement for God. That's what gets people into hot water. That's what drives celebrities over the edge. That's what makes people have, you know, wild financial success and then lose their minds on the other side of it. And so if you can do both in tandem, it will keep you in balance as you pursue your desires and as you sculpt your manifestations. And I mean, this is something that even I do. Like, I have to do this stuff constantly. I constantly have to put myself in check. Like, Jessica will get a hold of something. She'll see something shiny, or she'll, you know, get jealous of someone or whatever. My ego is doing all sorts of things. And I have to know, like, okay, that's going on. And I know that the only thing that is going to satiate that part of myself is reconnecting with God. That's it. That's the only solution I personally have found, is to get myself all juiced up. And then I can come back from a clear-minded space, from a more balanced perspective, and then all of the desires get to be just an expression of who I am. So then you're getting the best of everything. It's like when you fall out of balance or you have one of those funky, inadequate feelings or jealousy or confusion come up or feeling lost or purposeless, like I mentioned before, all those categories of emotion, it's like you can rebalance those easily when you know how to self-source, because you understand where real fulfillment, satisfaction, comfort, security within yourself actually comes from you being connected. That's where all of that comes from. And then you also get to have fun co-creating. It's not like you have to put your desires down. They get to be a part of the equation, but they are not a replacement. It's like not an alternative form of fuel, which is how people use their goals and aspirations a lot of the time. And that's the dangerous part. Now, there are plenty of people who don't necessarily need to do this type of rebalancing within themselves because they're just living a really low stakes, satisfying life, which is, you know, completely different. If you're just walking around in gratitude and appreciation, you know, tending to the garden, taking care of the animals, feeling connection, basking in the glow of good friendship, eating delicious food, and you're just kind of having a good time, having a good time, having a good time, then you're not going to be having to necessarily go out of your way to get refueled in the way that I'm talking about. Or you're kind of already plugged into the current of well-being and you're already in this acknowledgement and self-sourcing perpetually. But for those of you who are high achievers, if you have big goals and big visions, and it's something where it is important for you to dream big, hold a really big vision, but also with that can come comparison or feeling like it's not enough or it's not good enough. It can come with a lot of this like emotional baggage and these emotional places that don't exist if you're living a low stakes life. Like if you're just living in comfort and things are like no big deal, then you're not going to brush up as often against these places that you do if you're like on the pursuit of big things. This reminds me of, you know, when people are talking about, okay, who are the happiest people? Well, farmers. You know, there's not going to be as much emotional projection going on when you're feeding the animals and watching plants grow. You know, there's not as many opportunities for you to run into these things. And it's not that, you know, fast cars and success and money, it's not like those things are inherently bad. It's just that it can create a lot of unhappiness if you don't know how to self-source at the same time. It can get you into hot water if you don't know how to self-source at the same time. And that's my whole point, is there are some lifestyles that are more accommodating of like a perpetual connection. And then there are different lifestyles that require you to be more intentional and deliberate about making sure that you're fueling yourself with something other than I'll feel better when. Oh my goodness, we are already 31 minutes in. Okay, so the next question that I would imagine, if you've been listening to my podcast for quite some time, you probably already know what I'm talking about when I'm saying self-sourcing or conjuring the emotions within, like activating, stimulating the emotion through appreciation, imagination, selective memory, meditation. I mean, you know, this is what we do in Astral Playground. Is even though I'm giving everyone inside cues, or if you're listening to the sessions, it's like I'm giving you cues for what to do, but you're self-sourcing all of it. All of those feelings and experiences that you're having internally, it's like you are the one who's conjuring those. I might be prompting you with different things, but that's just a way for you to activate it within yourself. So Astral Playground sessions are entirely about self-sourcing. If you've done my Connect to Source meditation, that meditation is so that you can get the circulation going so you can activate your connection to Source, to God. That's why it's called that. It's a way of refueling yourself. Some people find it in the Bible. That's not my thing, but some people do it that way where they dive into the Lord's word and they, you know, get in there and they feel the resonance of God in the Bible. Again, that's not my thing, but that is a way that people can come back to their own resonance, to their source. They're just finding an avenue to kick on the awareness. Prayer journaling, going into a dialogue with God, that's a way to self-source. You know, taking your concerns into prayer, that's a way to self-source. Going and seeking God, even the intention of, I am more interested in God and Source and this divine stream of love that I'm connected to. I am more concerned with that than finding an external solution to this emotional disturbance that I'm having in this moment. That is a powerful intention. Even just saying, I have the goal, I have the desire to be fulfilled by God instead of this external thing that I'm really focused on, that will do wonders. If you're in church, moving prayer. Well, if you don't know, church is my membership. So moving prayer sessions are a way for you to resource, refuel, connect with God, fill your body, resonate with the frequency of God. Because that's what this is. That thing, the feeling of adequacy comes from God. The feeling of security comes from God. The feeling of knowing everything's going to be okay comes from God. That's where all of that comes from. It's not from fucking money. It's not from fame. It's not from reaching the next goal. And when you really figure that out and you're able to go back to the source where it actually lives over and over and over and train your body and mind to orient in the direction of that, you will start to see significant improvements because the stakes are going to lower around your external reality and you can feel more peace as you move through your life, which is what the vast majority of you are wanting. It's just that humans have a habit of saying, it's that thing over there that's going to give me that sensation. So anyway, this entire conversation came to me because this is what I'm doing in church. So if you don't know, that is my membership. But this is the entire fucking point, is you learning how to self-source. You learning how to train yourself to do exactly what I've just described. Because this is what simplifies everything else. And that way, people don't have an existential crisis on the other side of a big win. Because if your body and mind are already attuned to God and you know how to self-source, then you're not going to be taken on a roller coaster ride as you start manifesting things and as you're building your dream life. Because if too much of your well-being is tied up in the things around you and you don't know how to activate it within, you'll start to become brittle in your life. You'll have all these fears and you'll start to cramp up and you'll start to worry about losing everything and you'll feel all panicky and freaked out about not being able to keep everything together. My whole argument is that when you circulate the energy of God, when you resonate with God, when you're fueling your body and mind properly, all of this becomes way more sustainable. So your goals, your dreams, your desires, all of them are more easily metabolized when you are running a strong current of energy. But that's something you have to train yourself to do. Because most people are just operating within the patterns that came from their family of origin. Then you can start to break out of it with mindset work and personal development, and you start to like crack things open, right? That's usually where people start to open things up. Therapy, all that. Then when you start to get into, I want to optimize things. I want to live at the highest caliber possible. I want to be able to feel as much pleasure and satisfaction and fulfillment and joy and bliss. And I want to like crank up the heat as much as I possibly can. Then that's a matter of how much God you can allow in. Because the depth of pleasure and fulfillment and good things is a matter of how wide can you receive God? How open can you be to that current of energy? Can you allow an avalanche of that energy? Can you allow a huge current to flow through you? So that's what I'm facilitating in church, because I feel like people don't have adequate places to practice. So I decided to make one myself. At least this is the best recipe I've found, right? Source yourself, get yourself juiced up, connect to God, kick the current on, circulate, 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 and then flow that in the direction of your desires. And so in church, we're just doing the reps. So that way you're training yourself to circulate more of the goodness that you desire to have in your life, and then flowing that in the direction of everything that you want. And that is a recipe for sustainability, in my opinion, because you're taking all of the pressure off of the external metrics. You take the pressure off of the manifestations, and manifestations just get to be the way that you are self-expressed. It just gets to be the fun stuff that you decide to create. And then the bedrock, the foundation, is you being able to get connected whenever you want. So it's like you're not running around saying, what do I do? What do I do? I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to feel better. It's like, my experience with all of this is like, are you kidding me? I can feel insecure and then go to the mat and come out on the other side feeling juiced up and excited to be alive and like connected to God. And like, are you kidding me? It's rad. It's amazing. Like, that's the best solution I've found. Getting connected to God, reconnecting to God over and over and over. I don't know. That's the best solution I have. That's the best thing that I use for myself. And it's 100% reliable. Not in terms of what's my depth of practice every single day, but the source itself. God is always steady. God is always there. The infinite stream of love and consciousness that I refer to as God takes no lunch breaks, takes no vacations, has no days off. It's just always there, and it's always flowing, and it's always available for you to tap into. So why not just go to the goods? Why bother with anything else? I don't know. That's my attitude. It's more reliable than anything else I have found. So anyway, okay, we're 40 minutes in. I need to go ahead and wrap this up. If you would like to check out church, head over to the show notes. Go check it out. I did a whole video about it. I did a podcast about it. Doors close on December 20th. Okay, it's very important. I think it won't be open again until the summertime. I don't know for sure, but that's what I'm looking at right now. So if you want to get in, get in. And I hope to see you inside. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Good luck with everything. I love you all so much, and I will talk to you later. Bye.